You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is Wig Hackers with Daniel Coy, your number one podcast for wig hacking to help you work smarter, not harder. You get a look behind the scenes at what goes on the hair side of the entertainment industry. You never know where my rants will go, so stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to the Wig Hackers Podcast with your host, Daniel Coy. So I have, like, this one is going to, like, give you so much information that I'm more excited to learn along with you for this one. So today, my guest is the intentional Instagram for stylist with Jenny Brown. I need like an air whistle or something to go because I always, you know. So welcome to the show, first and foremost. I know it's been a very quick fall in love relationship. I think us as Libras just fall in love very quickly. So I fell in love with you since like day one. But let's tell the audience like what it is that is intentional Instagram. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's dive in because so many people need this. Like, this is the first thing, like, guys, that you're listening, take notes. This is going to be the one, okay? So take notes, replay it, because there's going to be so much information, and I'm taking notes as we're doing this as well. So give a little, your little overview.
Well, first of all, the feeling is so mutual. You are amazing, and I'm so happy we connected. And secondly, so basically, intentional Instagram is having an intention behind using Instagram. So why are you using the platform? What is it that you're hoping to achieve? Because I think so often we get so wrapped up in like the vanity metrics and the someone unfollowing us from 3,000 miles away when we're really just trying to get clients in our chair that we get discouraged and we get kind of driven away from why we're actually using the platform. So that's why my approach to Instagram, I start with who you are, who you want to help, who you want to impact, and then what it is that you want to achieve with your Instagram marketing strategy. So that's how it's a little bit different. I can teach you how to, you know, get a million likes on a post and all the Instagram, like IG hacking stuff, but there's lots of other people that are doing that too. My approach is slightly different, so.
Yeah, so what, how do you talk to your client about changing that mentality from, vanity matrix, which is so incredibly, I think it's hurtful in the world, but how do you get to change, help your client change that mentality into like content driven, right? Because that's literally like you are about the content and the copy, the words.
Yeah.
How do you help someone? Like, say for me, for example, you know, because I'm very much a vanity person, as much as I don't like to say yet. But, that's the only reason why I would post certain things, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's be clear. We're all a little vain. Myself included. So I think the first thing is to just, again, I just think it really goes back to figuring out why. And I think at the end of the day, like when we're talking specifically about, you know, people in the beauty business using the platform to build revenue. That is what I teach. And that it's, so in that specific instance, it's like, okay, so what's more important? You know, the likes or like the money in your bank account? Oof. And the beautiful thing is a lot of the time they go hand in hand. Because once you start resonating, once you start getting your messaging like on point, the people are going to be, the people that follow you that you want to connect with are going to feel more drawn to connect with you. So I'm really, really all about relationship building. So I think that the best way and really the only way, because people buy from people, is to build those connections. There's a million different ways to do it. But for me, I feel like if you show up, you're building that know, like, and trust factor. And that is what's going to lead someone to want to get to know you and do business with you ultimately.
That's
Okay, I do like that a lot. Okay, but let's go back, because you are from behind the chair, right? You started behind the chair. So what was your, like, aha moment? Like, are you still behind the chair? Like, first and foremost, like, do you still have clients that you do?
I do have clients that I do, yes, like on a very limited basis. And I'm not against going back behind the chair, but I knew when I started this business that it required like all of me.
Yeah, yeah.
As you know, you're a stylist too. So you know that like your creativity, while you never run out of creativity, like sometimes when you're working behind the chair, when you get home by the end of the day, like you're spent, like the ideas are spent. So I knew when I started this business, like I wanted to take that little bit of like white space to build this business. Now I am back behind like a few days a month kind of thing. So what was my aha moment? Basically, I went to a class, that was hosted by my now friend, Dawn Bradley. And she had a student in the class, because she always does like at the end of her classes, it's like a very open like forum kind of thing, like Q&A. And I remember someone asking a question about social media. And like this entire, like no lie, every single stylist in this room, except for me, was like, oh my God, it's so overwhelming. And it was like just this outpour of like how overwhelmed and like stressed out people were with having to show up on Instagram and like how to use it. And it was so confusing and their efforts weren't working. And at this point, like by the time I had taken this class, like I had built up my dream clientele using Instagram, like only doing services I wanted to do. I was not working weekends. Like I had really, really honed in what I was doing. And I was just like, I can't believe, because when you know something and when you do something, it seems like second nature.
Right.
So that was like the light bulb moment that like, okay, like there is such an area that I just want to help people feel less overwhelmed and like help people take control, because I had had such great success with the platform that I wanted to kind of share that and like take some of that like heaviness away from it for other stylists.
Okay, so for me personally, I know social media is like a daunting task, very daunting. And I know a lot of people do feel that way too, or they're scared, or sometimes they don't even know what to say. And like, we're talking to creatives, all the people who are listening are very much very creative. They're very, you know, artsy. They're creating with their hands. They're making wigs. They're building wigs. So like, what would be like two tips you would give them, you know, from like, I want to say get over the hump, get over that like, you know what I mean? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like that, the just do it. Yeah, some inspo.
So my first would be like give yourself a break. Like, why is it that as stylists and as creative professionals, we will spend all of this time getting education on doing the thing, but then we expect to be like natural marketers and business people? Like, take the time to learn it and it will become a lot less overwhelming. Like, can you imagine? I don't know any wig terms except what I've learned from you. But like, I'm sure there are things that like, before you learned how to do it, you were like, how the hell do people do that? Like, that's amazing. Like, and you look at it and you're like, I'm never going to know how to do that until you learn. And then you know, right? So that would be my first tip. Allow yourself to not know what you're doing. Like, allow yourself the, you know, the permission to be new and to learn something and to start as a beginner. That's my first word of advice. The second is like, show up. So show up as yourself, be authentic, be you, because at the end of the day, people want to connect with you. And the person behind the page, what you do is amazing, but people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So if you are showing up as yourself and allowing people to really form that know, like, and trust factor with you, that is going to lead to a stronger community, a stronger business, ultimately.
So I see a ton of hair people and wig people in particular, because I've been, you know, following all these people, and all I see is like photo after photo of their work, like the back, the color, the highlights, the wave, the beachy waves. If I see any more beachy waves. Do you know what I mean? Like, and like, do you recommend that? Do you know what I mean? Like, is that like, should people be so worried about having that much content? Like getting the best photo from every client posting, you know what I mean? Like, is that the best route to go?
So, that's an awesome question. I love that. So here's kind of what I would say on that. So I think it needs to be part of your strategy, but not all of your strategy. Mm-hmm. And so many people, like something that I teach in my course is like, if you have, like, a lot of us fight lighting, right? So we're like, oh my God, we have to get a picture of every single person. So we're stressing ourselves out, spending half an hour taking photos in like crappy lighting that we're never gonna use. So I always say, like, give yourself permission to not take a photo of every client. When you have bomb lighting and it's working out really, really well, then take like 20, because people, for whatever reason, think that every single person that follows them sees every single photo. They do not. So if you want to repost the same client a lot of times, like, look at my feed, look at the feed of any Insta-famous hairstylist you follow. Chances are you'll probably see like 10, 15 clients that they constantly repost because they make the best photos. Mm. And that's just like the way it is. So, I mean, if you enjoy taking photos, by all means, incorporate lots of them. But I would say quality over quantity, for sure.
Yeah, okay, great. So in your course, what made you do it? What made you create this course? This like bomb, like, marketing course. I know, scary words for everyone. I know, very scary words. I'm just like warning everyone who's listening. I know, scary words, marketing, creative people, marketing. I know, it's part of it. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna rip off the Band-Aid.
I know, it's terrifying. Honestly, a lot of it was because, I kept hearing from people, I'm doing everything right on Instagram and I'm not getting any results. And I'm looking and I'm like, okay, so by doing everything right on Instagram, you mean taking nice photos. Because that's what everyone thinks that the be all and end all is. Right. And honestly, this morning I saw a distributor, like, I won't name names, post a photo of a balayage with the caption, caramel macchiato balayage. And I almost shoved my pen through my eyeball because I was like, I can't even. Like, if I see one more caramel macchiato balayage, like, what is this adding? It is white noise. There's a lot of nice hair photos. It's a waste of time. Like, don't even bother. If that's the caption you're gonna post, just don't. I would say use it as an opportunity to connect. You don't need to describe the photo, because if someone's looking at your Instagram, they can see it. So that is like the one thing that I would say. So in the course, the reason I created it is because I wanted to teach people how to narrow in on their messaging. So like one of the main concepts that I use throughout it is a core content framework. So basically what we do is we break down your ideal client. And this is something, like, even if you're listening and you want to like write this down and try and, you know, try your hand at it, define your ideal client, because once you figure out who it is that you're talking to, you're able to connect with them a lot more. And then I use that ideal client avatar and the really targeted questions to build your core content strategy. So,
okay, take it. These are big words for me. Yeah. So, these are 2, 4, 6 very big words. I mean, I've dabbled, I've, you know, searched, I mean, YouTube University over here for marketing. So could you break those down a little bit? Like just for the listeners and for myself, because I am a natural blonde, even though I touched up last night, but still a blonde. Just so we have a little bit more, they have a little grasp of what it means to you. Because I know everyone has their different way of, you know, 1 inch is never 1 inch across the board. So yeah, just a little like home, just a smidge, just in case, just for me. So I know what you're talking about when you actually talk about it.
Sounds good. Let me break it down. Okay. So do you want me to break down kind of the ideal client and then the core content and just kind of go from there?
The core content, because I've talked about the niching down and our ideal client, because I'm very big on that, because you don't want to sell a Tesla to someone who's only can handle a Chevy. You know what I mean? That's my big thing. I coach you with lace and with wigs, you know. Some people just can't handle it. So I think
they better.
I'm yelling at all of my listeners. You better know what a perfect client is, because I'll be mad at you. Okay.
Okay. I love it. So for instance, okay, so basically I break it down into three categories, three content or like caption types. So your main purpose in my course with your captions is to teach, uplift, or tell a story. Those are the three ways that I like to add value. So that's kind of how I break it down. I'm going to go right in for you. So say one of your caption categories is to teach, right? And then your ideal client, give me an example of an ideal client that one of your listeners might have. So like, what would they be service-wise?
They want a parted hairline on a everyday wig that is brown with, you know, like caramel highlights, your favorite. But they want it to be glueless, so they don't want to glue it down every day. So that will be like my one ideal client. So we make a glueless wig for these clients.
Okay. So then what I would say is, like, if you're going to teach about that, so that is what your ideal client wants, right? So one thing you could teach about would be care. So how you would care for that once you had it, the advantages of that over what the other, like the competition. So say you want a glueless, like what is the difference between a glueless wig and like the alternative, right? So what is the benefit of what you provide and what your client is looking for? You can teach about that. And then when you're teaching, I think always be generous with your knowledge and keep it really concise. So it can literally be one thing. I think a lot of people get in their own heads. Like, you could literally have a post or an IG live or whatever about how to brush your wig, right? Like how to like properly detangle it and like, you know what I mean? Just so that it's like, it's a very specific post. Yeah. So that's why when I'm creating the core content, like they're broad categories, and then you just pick something that you can really hone in on. Cause that way, you know, when your ideal client is reading your post, they're like, oh, that's so good to know. Like that's valuable information.
Yeah, so I keep hearing you say value.
Yes,
value. I just wanna push that, because I know we're in the world of, in my world anyway, and the people who I tend to have, they're like always like celebrity. Oh, let me get my wig into a celebrity's hand. But that's not, I mean, yes, it's a client that we want, but I feel the value that you keep talking about is what we're missing, even in the industry.
I completely agree. And especially because like with Instagram, like a lot of it was, how do I get featured, right? Mm-hmm. I've been featured by some like really top industry publications, and let me tell you, it did zero for my business.
Like, I'm not going to talk about that now. Some race thing that has happened, you know, the drag and the racing. And the money that we have spent to be
featured.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like, okay, like maybe it feels good, but like that's not the, I mean, at the end of the day, like we're in it to make, you know, money, we're in it to make an impact, right? So if you're wanting to make an impact on your ideal client, it allows you to make choices a little bit differently, because you're like, okay, is this really going to push the needle towards what I'm trying to achieve? Okay, so then the second category would be uplift. So this is like inspire, motivational, any of that kind of stuff. So this is where we go a little deeper into your ideal client. So say, is your ideal client like an entrepreneur, a stay-at-home mom, a, you know, busy professional? Like, what is it that you are connecting with? And I know this sounds really specific to a lot of people, because I think a lot of the time when we think about perfect client, we're like, okay, well, I don't want to alienate everyone else.
Yes.
But you won't. Let me just like check that off for you. Not gonna happen. It's not like your ideal client's gonna materialize and everyone else is gonna melt away and that's gonna be it for you. It's just that by having someone really specific in mind, you're gonna be able to create things and then someone's gonna read it and be like, oh my God, he's talking to me or she's talking to me or you know what I mean? So you're never gonna create that like really deep connection if you don't narrow in. So the uplift can be, I mean, your page is great for this. Like, I love the quotes you post. And when I read it, I'm like, yeah, like starting my day. So like, that's something that probably the people that you resonate with will really like, is that like uplifting, like motivational content.
Right, right. I love them. I mean, I'm also a little sassy, so, you know, a little kick in the butt never hurt ya, you know? So yeah.
I definitely go a little bit on the tough love side too sometimes. It's all love though, like very much love.
Right, it all comes from my heart. Like that's like, I mean, yeah. In general, you know, like when I do say something, I have a reason for saying it. So, and I want it to be either a learning experience or a motivational experience or you know what, maybe we never have to do that ever again because...
Yes, totally. Well, and a lot of people struggle with this category too if it's not something that they naturally get to. So another way that you can kind of think of the uplifting is like, what's a struggle that you face that your ideal client may have faced as well? Like, you know, if it was even something like, because I know with wigs, it's like the very much like the natural, like, and there's like not well done wigs have some really big drawbacks that like well done wigs do not have.
Right.
I learned this in the last like 3 days just from you, so correct me if I'm wrong. but yeah, so that's something that you could talk about, like if you, or even like uplifting in the sense that like you might have experienced this. This is how what I offer is different and this is how it will make you feel. So that's what you want to focus on when you're creating uplifting content. It's kind of giving your ideal client permission to get excited about what it is that you offer. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. I'm with you. And I'm with you. I mean, everybody. Because naturally blonde.
I love it. I feel like we're really getting to the meat of this podcast, which I love.
Legit. I mean, there is no fluff in it, kids.
No.
We hack off all the fat and get right to the core of how to do it, you know?
Exactly. Because like, how much fluff is there?
So much.
I am so sick of watching 1 hour Instagram marketing monologues that teach me nothing.
I've watched so many YouTube videos and so like hours. I mean, I've listened to books that are literally like post 3 times a day. I'm like, this was a book. I would love a little bit more from a book than just that, because then dang, yeah. I'm a billionaire.
Yes. And honestly too, like the thing about a book and Instagram for me is I'm like, by the time you're done publishing it, it will have completely changed.
Legit. Love. So
that's why, like, I love the online course concept. Like I have a couple, but like I love it because it's like I can literally go in there and switch it. And when people get my course, they get lifetime. So they'll get all the updates because you need them. Like it's not something that you can learn once.
Just from like the past 4 days, you know, Facebook has changed. They're like login system and like messaging system and the dang, you know, fan page thing and the business app. It's always changing, you know. I guess the only really good thing is like our the wig industry, there has been some advancement in the field, but to be honest, it has been very consistent.
Yeah.
It's just that no one has been able to master it really well, you know? So yeah. I feel like that's, I mean, there's more than just that, but that's like one of the great things about my industry is that, you know, once you get it, you have it for life. And there's always ways to hack it. There's always different ways of doing things and learning the different techniques. But like, it's not like a full algorithm update that you have to deal with, which I'm the worst. Ooh, algorithm, ooh, use stories. Okay, now I'm gonna do stories. And then, oh, I haven't posted in a month. So, Yeah, okay, sorry. I went on a pitch.
It's interesting that you said that though, because that just sparked something. Like a couple weeks ago, and the week before my course launched, because I'm real brave and I do crazy stuff when it comes to experimenting, I decided I was gonna stop all my regularly scheduled content and just post reels. The reason that I did this is because I saw so many like Instagram experts saying, you need to focus on reels. Reels are it. Like, that's what you gotta do. That's where you gotta spend your time. Right. All this stuff. And I'm like, you know, I think it's doing people a disservice. Like, incorporate reels. This was my opinion, right? Yeah. Like, incorporate reels. Like, I don't know that I love the idea of telling everyone to like abandon their strategy and just switch everything over to reels, because I don't actually think that's gonna be beneficial. So I was like, I'm gonna try it. Yeah, and so I tried it, and my reach was down over 50%. My engagement was down by over 80%. And it just tanked my analytics completely. Wait. Which I don't care about that much, because I'm like, no. You know what, it's an experiment, I'll get it back. I'm not married to the analytics for myself, because I think it's all about testing, changing, like doing whatever it is.
Yeah.
Interesting to me, because I used all the exact same topics, I talked about all the same stuff, and a lot less of my people saw it. So therefore, it's not always about doing that new thing and shifting your whole strategy. I think it's about building and then adding. So that was the whole thing that I was trying to prove, and it did go there. So which is a relief, because you know, if everything got up, I would have been like, I guess they're right.
Oh no. Oh my gosh. So what should a typical day of social media be like? Like, what's your ideal social media day?
Okay, so I would say in the morning you want to post something that is on your stories that invites engagement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So before you post on your feed, I would say, and like, this can be something super easy. This can be like, I'll take a photo of like my cup and be like, are you a coffee or tea drinker? Mm. Just because people like it's a game, right? When I see that, I always answer them. So I'm like, obviously I drink coffee.
Yeah. Hello, I mean, it's coffee already in these little chocolate yeah. towels.
So yeah, if you post something like that, and then kind of, so I think stories are really great, but again, they're not the be all end all. So stories are great because they can get people to engage, but they're going to make people a lot more likely to see your feed content as well if you engage. And then I would post on your feed and make sure you reply to all the comments, especially within the first hour.
Oh, okay. So,
this isn't something that you need to kill yourself doing either. Like, I know a lot of the time we think about like, okay, this is, you know, we have to hit all these marks in order to get the maximum engagement. While that is true, our main thing is we want to add value, right? We want to add value to our audience. So as long as you're posting quality content, I would rather see you post that quality content and then worry about all this stuff after. Mm-hmm. But they're just my kind of, and then, so what I would do then is I would kind of post things throughout the day. So on your stories, I think one post a day is like enough for 90% of people okay. with the goal to increase revenue, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So the goal to come into famous, slightly different, but with the goal to create revenue and serve your audience, that is where I would go with that. And yeah, just post stuff throughout your day. Let people behind the curtain a little bit. Like, let people get to know you. Once you've posted on your feed, I always share that to stories with a reason that they should go and look at it. Because just sharing it isn't usually enough. You're going to want to say something about, like, this is what you'll get from this post, which is why it's so important to add the value. So that's kind of what a typical day would look like. I encourage no stress. I really want people, I want to make it accessible and easy for people to do. So that's where I'm going to end my tips. That's what I want you guys to do. Engage. Engage with the comments on your posts and post your stories and post good content.
I mean, I've taken already 12 notes on my own just listening to this podcast. So just making this podcast is like a very candid, like, coaching call almost. Yeah. To be honest. I mean, like, legit. But like, how, what made you, A, what made you get into hair, first off? Like, what's that story?
My mom is a hairstylist.
What?
So she started as a shampoo girl when she was 11 years old and then went on to purchase the salon that she worked at 21. So by the time we moved to Canada, she'd already owned two salons. She opened one here. Like, she was back in the salon 10 days after having me. So I literally teethed on perm rods. Then I, like, we moved countries, and I just remember thinking, like, when I was, like, I did my first set of foils on my friend when I was 11 with a box of Blondissima and a pencil to section. So I just don't remember there being a time where I didn't want to do hair. Yeah, Legally Blonde came out and I briefly considered law, but then I found out it was like 7 years of school and I was like, you know, I don't know that that's for me. So thank you, Reese Witherspoon, for that short burst of inspiration.
Inspiration, though, it's all about the inspo, to be honest. Oh my God. I mean, I like that show for a different reason. So what would you give someone new to the industry of, like, the beauty industry? Like, I know, like, let's talk to that person. I know I have a ton of up and comers, newcomers. And I also have, like, well, that's the first question. All right. And then, like, I'm going to piggyback that on, like, and then what do you talk to, like, the old school people, you know, the people who had to still do, like, you know, the written test and, you know, like, who've been through it all and they're a little stagnant in their business? Totally different questions, but, you know, like what would you—
I love this. Yeah, I love this because I have both of these as, like, my coaching students, and so I love the idea of it being so different. So my first advice to newer up-and-comers in the industry is, like, first of all, congratulations. I honestly think this is the best business in the world. And I guess my main advice would be, like, you're in control. So don't be afraid to, you know, get the foundations that you need, but at the same time, like, your dream is not too big. I remember being new and I remember having people tell me, like, oh, you need X amount of years under your belt before you can do this. You need this before you can do this. The access to education is at an all-time high. Like, can you imagine, like, when you started being able to, like, hop on the internet and get free education from industry greats? Like,
I had dial-up.
You did not have
AOL when I started. Growing up, you know, my mother would pick up the phone and there goes everything.
Exactly. So yeah, that's kind of, like, I think just, like, absorb as much information as you can. And then, like, you are a business owner. Like, so create a business. That's my advice to new stylists. Like, take yourself seriously, learn as much as you can, and just treat it like a business.
Would you suggest a mentor?
Oh my God, yes. biggest change in my entire life is when I started working with a coach and a mentor. It's so easy to quit when things get hard. And I think that's, like, the biggest thing is, like, you need to accept, if you're gonna do anything big with your life, that you're gonna fail. Like, there are, it's not like a, you might fail. It's like,
oh, you're hurting me. Okay. So real, guys. This is so real. I'm about to cry. Even though I just had a Q-tip up my nose. I'm about to cry. Okay. Keep going.
That's, like, I think that's the thing, right? Like, we need to accept, like, you will. So the sooner you can accept it, the less, like, you have nothing to be scared of anymore, right?
This is real, guys. So real. Like, I'm literally teary-eyed. Like, yes. I feel like I'm the new kid out of school and you're just telling me this. I'm like, oh. But I'm old as dirt and I should have known that.
It's one of those things, though. I think it's like, and this came to me, like, you know, 12, 13 years into my career, honestly. Like, The amount of opportunity that I have passed up because I didn't think I was ready is terrifying, right? Like, and so that's like one of my whole things why I'm so candid about this, because I want to save, you know, the next generation, like that, that, you know, fear of failure, because you will fail and it will be okay.
I mean, you said like, you know, pass these, you know, you pass up these opportunities. So the one, I have one, and I have to tell the story. Literally I was doing Jessica Chastain's hair and I was taking off her wig, and who came to see the show that night? Anna Wintour and Calvin Klein. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So then I have the wig, I'm walking out of her dressing room. Anna Wintour was like, oh, is this a wig? I'm like, yes. And then I kept walking. To this day, I have nightmares. I'm like, oh my God, that was like prime time to be like, yes, this is what a real wig is. Asshole. Hi, how are you? To this day, I regret that. Like, I'm not just stopping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a retard, but that's okay.
And when you look back, it's probably like, you don't recognize at the time, but it's probably that imposter syndrome where you're like, who am I to stop and talk to Anna Wintour, right? Yeah. Like that's what it is like in our minds. So that's why like 2020, there's been so much awful things that have happened. But this is also the year that I was like, I'm just gonna ask, because literally the worst case scenario when you ask someone a question is they ghost you or they say no, right? If you never reach out, it's an automatic ghost or an automatic no. So that's kind of where it's like, sometimes we gotta like, you know, let go of the ego just a little bit. And I naturally, like, I think as creative, like all of us come with an ego. That's what makes us great, right?
I wish this was like a podcast, like no one was listening, because like this is like a full-on coaching call right now. I'm going through it 100% of the time. Like this is real. Like I hope other people like can connect on this. It's so just so real. Like everything you're saying. So yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, this is a podcast. We're gonna continue.
It's good though. I think it's like sometimes when we have these breakthroughs, it's like, okay, like this is why I think like conversational podcasts are the best, because this is where like the real shit comes out.
I mean, I can't do a script to save my life. Like my assistant says that, and all of it has to, like, but when I'm just being goofball me and just being me, it's the best. Like I'm also a deep person. If we're not going deep, I don't want to be there. You know, that's why I don't have friends. I don't go to parties. I'm not like that social butterfly. I'm like, no, one person and we're going to have a great time. Okay. What would you say to the older, seasoned hairdresser who's been through it all, been through these changes, maybe feeling a little stuck, or seeing these newcomers come up, maybe feeling a little threatened by them, not knowing the new social media, you know, the Twitter, you know what I mean? Like, yes. What do you say to them?
You know, I think for someone who's been in the industry for longer, there's definitely more to unpack, because there's a lot of those like learned biases. And I love the word threatened, because I see this so often. Actually, I'm part of a group on Facebook and it's called, I don't know if you're in it, but it's this is ironic, but the title of the group is like something about, I'm not going to name it exactly, but it's like something about supporting other stylists.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yes, yes.
So I see a post the other day and it's like, what is the most annoying thing to you? It was like addressed to seasoned stylist. What is the thing about the new generation of hairstylists that pisses you off the most? Ugh. So first of all, I'm like, the irony, like, cause when it comes up, it's like so-and-so posted in this higher style support group, right? And I'm like, okay, so first of all, the irony of like what, like let's come after this new generation for, you know, being new in a support group. But then I read the comments, and my favorite thing was there was like a ton of hairstylists that were like more seasoned, that were like, I think we need to learn from the younger generation. I don't think, and there was literally not one comment that was saying like, yeah, they're so annoying. It was all like, this is what we have to learn. Like, I've been in the industry for 20 years and I have learned more from my assistant in the past 4 than I did, you know, for the 10 prior. So that really inspired me when I start thinking about seasoned stylists, because the beautiful thing about this industry is you're never done learning. That was one of the things that attracted me most to it. And like, my mom, like I said, she started as a shampoo girl when she was 11, and she's now 46 years later. She would murder me if she heard me saying her age on a podcast, but anyways, still doing hair part-time. And she calls me all the time to be like, hey, what do you think of this formulation? Like, what toner would you use? What blah, blah, blah. So this woman is like the OG of hairstyling. She's owned, you know, 4 different salons on 2 different continents, like amazing. And she's calling me to ask me for my advice because she doesn't think that just because she has experience, she knows it all, right? So I think that's the best thing for like stylists. And I also see a lot of kickback against niching down from more experienced stylists. And it's not because they enjoy doing everything, it's because they were taught, it's like they have to unlearn the things that they were taught before they can kind of accept that growth. And this is not all, this is just I don't want to sound like I'm saying like this is like, you know, something that's wrong with older styles, because I don't believe that. I think like that generation has created like what we have today. But yeah, I think I would just say like unlearn some of those biases and like allow yourself growth still. Because if you're still behind the chair, you're not done. So like you can transform things for yourself in a year, in 6 months, in 4 months. Like allow yourself that ability and that same open-mindedness, I guess. That's what I would say.
I love it so much. Different worlds, as from theater, film, union, and whatnot, where we have, there is a very big divide, you know? Okay. So I'm sure some seasoned hair stylists who are in the union are, you know, listening. So I personally want to see that too, to everyone. Like, you never stop learning, you know? Like, in a hair room of 4 people, you're as good as your weakest link, you know? And to help that, you know, I've learned so, I am so fortunate to have been brought up in this middle world where I'm on that divide of getting taught by like the industry, like gurus, and then also trying to help the industry newbies come in. And this melting pot of where I am trying to like get them to talk. Cause I think it's a little harsher in my industry. Like it's a little bit more cutthroat. Like people are very much like, yeah, you know, and I wish we had something like this group you were talking about. Like we kind of have one, but it's missing a couple things. But like, I still feel there is that room for growth and we have to keep learning, you know? And I don't know if that's because in our industry, we're recreating time periods. Mm-hmm. So like, let's just pick, you know, 1940s, there is a finger wave set. There is like a roller set that you have to know in order to do that.
Right.
So I don't know if that puts us in this mentality of, oh, someone who didn't live through that era or hasn't been doing it for X amount of years, like I know it better. But then I think that goes back to ego. And it's a different world.
Totally. And I mean, I think the thing too is like for the greater like general hairstyles, like I always say that like I think the reason that we're able to, and this is like my corner of the internet that I choose to, like if someone is like overly negative, like I'm just like unfollow. Like I don't, because I want to create this like happy little place in the industry so that we can all kind of like learn and grow from each other. But I think that like competition is a lot of the root of what you're talking about. And a lack mindset too. And whether it's a cultivated lack mindset or an actual lack of work. I always tend to think it's more the mindset, but because there's a lot of work out there. I don't know if that's the case in your industry.
There is so much work that I, oh my, there is enough for everyone. And I know right now through the pandemic, you know, our industry has shut down completely. Wow. Same thing with salons, completely shut down. We're even hearing like a new second wave coming through. So I get it. Everybody's thirsty, everybody's hungry. And also, I mean, I'm just gonna talk to like the industry folk that are out there, that right now we have all of the cream of the crop of our industry is out of work.
Yeah.
So don't forget that. Like, don't like, and I'm not even trying to like, you know, I'm not every production's first choice, you know? So like, and I've been fortunate enough to get the jobs where I am is two things. I'm available and I can still do the job. And then I prove to them that I can do the job. So that's where they hire me again. So like, there's that whole world. And like, there is enough. There will always be enough. Like, and what's meant for you is meant for you. Like, don't forget that part. Like, there's like our journey is our journey. Like we pick and choose who we want in our own lives, you know? Like, even family, we make our own family. We have like, I mean, this is totally off of hair, but it's part of it, you know? We want to attract those people that we want to service. You know, we want to have those clients that want us to be there, and we want them to be there. So it's just like this thing, you know. And then you have to learn how to hone that back from being a therapist and like a haircut taking 4 hours. You know, you're like, we're talking too much. Let's cut your hair a little quicker. Okay. So now people have heard all this. They're so inspired. I am so freaking inspired. Where can they get your class?
So it's available on my website. So it is jodybrown.ca, and I will send you the links for that too.
Yeah.
So it is available all the time. There was just a sale that ended yesterday, but there may be another one coming. So get on my mailing list.
Okay. So jodybrown.co, right?
A.
C-A. C-A.
Okay.
Canada. Where else can they find you? Where else can they, if they want to just follow you? Because the sunshine light that comes out of your posts is very much attractful. And it just like, I stop. You know, there's a post and we want to like see what it is. What is she coming out with? And truthfully, like, I don't say copy, but like get inspiration from you. Like just scrolling through your social is so much information that like I feel my listeners can like get inspired by.
Well, even just like I post so many actionable, like I'm not like I'm if anything like over generous with my knowledge, I think sometimes. So
you know what though, I'm talking about.
I'm cool with that. If I can help you, then by all means. So yeah, I'm always on Instagram over at It's Jody Brown. So yeah, that's the best place to find me. That's where I'm at. And I always love to get to chat to people. So if you have any like questions for me or you need, you know, like you want to connect, shoot me a DM. Cause I'm always on Instagram.
I love it. I do that all the time as I'm sitting in a hotel room and like just to talk and chat. So guys, make sure you follow her. I am super, so grateful that you made time out of your busy schedule to come on to the Weight Hackers podcast and follow her, find her class, sign up for her class, because the knowledge there is already going to be so much more. I think she almost gave away the whole thing here, but you know, I'm sure she gets a couple things out. So check her out, and until next, I'll have you back again, because I'm sure there's going to be some kind of algorithm change. I'm going to be like, Jody.
You know it.
All right. Until next time.
Thanks for having me.
Yay! Thank you for listening to this episode of Weight Hackers.
Did you get a chuckle out of this one? If you could hit that 5-star rating and share with your friends and coworkers, that'd be great. You never know who you're inspiring in the world, and I hope I'm inspiring you. Can't wait to have you laugh with me or at me on the next episode. Till then.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.